Web streaming of 90.3 WPLN-FM is made possible by listener support and by Vanderbilt University Medical Center, the promise of discovery. Learn how you can support this service at NashvillePublicRadio.org.
Falling like a gangbuster, keep yourself from feeling blue, cause it'll be your way of showing how you really know what to do.
Welcome to this week's edition of Says You, with our special guests, the Blue Four Trio and the fabulous Garland Waller.
I would be remembering how many years ago I'd forgotten that that's something that I learned in biology, and I don't remember forgetting, or I can't remember it.
I would like to nibble your forehead.
It's a strange day today, filled with references animal, vegetable, and medical.
I think that's a leech.
I'm sorry?
Not a leech.
No, that's the doctor. I'm
kidding. Ooh, a large contingent from the medical community here, I say.
Get in the groove today.
With Says You, next.
From NPR News in Washington, I'm Giles Snyder. The Director of National Intelligence is defending the National Security Agency, which is under fire because of two surveillance programs that have sparked privacy concerns. James Clapper issued a statement this weekend saying the NSA is not allowed to target U.S. citizens, and he has declassified some details of a program that collects internet data in response to media reports about the government's counterterrorism techniques. There are concerns in Britain that its electronic spying agency, GCHQ, may have obtained data on British citizens from the U.S. NSA, thereby circumventing U.K. law. As Larry Miller reports from London, Foreign Secretary William Hague says the issue has been blown out of proportion.
GCHQ has reportedly been part of the NSA surveillance program since 2010, receiving from the NSA nearly 200 secret reports. However, Foreign Secretary Hague told the BBC no British laws were broken.
The idea that in GCHQ people are sitting, working out how to circumvent a UK law with another agency in another country is fanciful. It is nonsense.
Hague says most British should not be concerned.
You have nothing to fear. Nothing to fear about the British state or intelligence agencies.
But a parliamentary committee wants the British spy agency to clarify its link to the NSA. For NPR News, I'm Larry Miller in London.
At the Sunnyland Estate in Southern California, photo op with President Obama and Chinese President Xi Jinping. Their two-day summit is getting a generally positive assessment. But National Security Advisor Tom Donilon says Obama told Xi that if cyber attacks allegedly coming from China are not resolved, they would inhibit ongoing relations. A protester in Lebanon's capital, Beirut, has been shot and killed outside the Iranian embassy. NPR's Kelly McEvers reports the protests against the militant group Hezbollah came as that group took over the embattled Syrian city of Qusair.
Protester Hashim Salman was a student activist who apparently was protesting against Hezbollah and its main backer, Iran. It's not yet known who shot him. The shooting and the protests are the latest sign of growing divisions here in Lebanon over the involvement of Hezbollah in the fight for the Syrian region of Qusair. Hezbollah fighters and the Syrian army took the last remaining villages around Qusair this weekend. Injured people from Qusair are now being transported to Lebanese hospitals, but in one Hezbollah-controlled area, Red Cross vehicles carrying the injured were pelted with stones. This, according to the Lebanese media. Kelly McEvers, NPR News, Beirut.
Turkey's prime minister is expected to travel to the capital, Ankara, today, a day after his party ruled out early elections. Demonstrations against his government began about 10 days ago, and today, Turkey's state-run news agency says there have been clashes between pro- and anti-government demonstrators. From Washington, this is NPR News. Former South African President Nelson Mandela is in the hospital this weekend. He was admitted with his condition declared to be serious but stable. He's being treated for a renewed lung infection that NPR's Afebia Quistarkton says dates to when he was a political prisoner.
Messages of support and sympathy are pouring in from all over the world, including the U.S., for the ailing elder statesman and Nobel Peace Laureate. 94-year-old Nelson Mandela was receiving care at home in Johannesburg after a bout of pneumonia and hospitalization at the end of March. March when his persistent lung problems returned. Mandela was diagnosed with early-stage tuberculosis in 1988 while in prison and has since battled with his lungs. Mandela is revered as a powerful global symbol of forgiveness after leading South Africa into its first multiracial democratic elections after decades of repressive apartheid rule. Ofebi Akwistockton, NPR News, Johannesburg.
The first named storm of the Atlantic season made yesterday the wettest day on record for many cities and towns in the Northeast. And for Nicole Bevilacqua of Lido Beach, New York, the remnants of Tropical Storm Andrea brought back memories of Superstorm Sandy.
Watching the water and watching everybody drive through or try and walk through it, it was like, I know it wasn't going to get as bad as it did, but yeah. It brought it back.
Andrea brought rain, strong winds, and tornadoes to Florida, but the storm lost much of its punch this weekend. Still, it dumped more than 6.5 inches of rain on Gales Ferry, Connecticut, and more than 4 inches in New York City's Central Park, doubling the previous record for June 7th. I'm Giles Snyder. This is NPR News from Washington.
Support for NPR comes from NPR member stations and from Cancer Treatment Centers of America, proud sponsor of StoryCorps, celebrating the power of listening.
Welcome to Says You, a game of bluff and bluster, words and whimsy.
Says you, says you, says you, says you.
Support for Says You in Seattle comes from the good folks at KUOW-FM and the Fairmont Olympic Hotel, on the National Register of Historic Places and on the web at fairmont.com/Seattle.
Now, join our panelists and your host, Richard Schur.
Thank you. Thank you. From the stage of Town Hall, Seattle, in Seattle, Washington, welcome to Says You, a simple game with, thank you very much, a simple game with words played by two teams, the first of which sits stereo right. He'll never let you down. He'll always help you out. He's a down-and-out kind of guy, Barry Nolan. You'll be glad she came along. She'll be sweet and she'll be short. That's the long and short of Miss Garland Waller. And you never know from the back of his mind what might suddenly burst forth, Mr. Tony Khan. And, who's going to lead tonight?
Captain Khan.
Hoi.
Tony.
At your service.
To my left, team two. Words fail to express my admiration of, respect for, and disbelief at the things this guy knows. Arnie Reisman. It would take a special kind of person to find that intellect amusing, yet here she sits amused, Miss Paula Lyons. And I think we're in for some fun tonight, because I think she's up for some fun, Miss Carolyn Fay Fox. Who's going to lead?
Miss Fun. Miss Fox.
Yeah, Captain Fun.
Correct answers are worth 10 points or whatever fraction thereof deemed appropriate. We always advise new listeners to grab a pen and paper. Let's begin. Now, I know that I think that you think you know the meaning of the following words. Okay, you're so smart, use them in a sentence. Carolyn, epoch, E-P-O-C-H, epoch.
The sentence is, what is the meaning of the word epoch?
Funny you would start off in negative numbers, but that's the way it's looking right now. Epoch.
Epoch. It's like an era. It's a period of time during which something happens.
Yes.
During the Richard Scheer epoch, Says You was known as a very funny show.
Oh, that's worth 10 points. Yeah, absolutely. You know, then, that epoch is a point of time distinguished by particular events or personalities.
Mm. Yes.
Try this one, Tony. Use it correctly in a sentence. Poultice.
Poultice.
P-O-U-L-T-I-C-E. Mm. Poultice.
Only a really dirty criminal would stand in need of the poultice. Poultice. I had a slight accident and required the application of a poultice to my patella.
Absolutely, because?
Because I fell down and got a boo-boo.
Okay, fine. That's enough for me.
A boo-boo.
A boo-boo. You can help me out, of course, with the definition.
Well, the application of a kind of medicinal layer applied with a soft cloth, yes. Possibly.
Is there a drawing out element to a poultice?
Yeah, I'm not sure that because
I
some
think
of
that's
them
a
say
leech.
That.
I'm sorry, that a leech.
No, that's the doctor.
Yeah,
I'm kidding.
Ooh, a large contingent from the medical right. community here, I say.
A poultice is a mix of some kind, though. Isn't
yes, it,
it
yeah. is. It's a soft mass of cloth, food, herbs, just about anything you can think of, applied to the body, warm. Some say as a healing and an analgesic. Hmm. So evidently it removes both pain and the injury itself.
A medical bouquet garni.
Arnie, try this one. Use this correctly in a sentence. Sunder.
Sunder?
S-U-N-D-E-R. Sunder.
Why buy a sunder when you can rent a sunder?
I'm so tempted to hit the bell. You have no idea. Why buy a sunder when you can rent
it? Does it mean the same thing?
Something about the Civil War?
Sunder, S-U-N-D-E-R.
And it's looks not, like they like, forgot part of the word to me. So. It means to split apart.
Split apart. So Richard Scherz gave me my paycheck and my heart was rent asunder.
But that's a sunder.
You know
that's what I mean.
Yeah, I like the original one better. But yeah, that's it isn't asunder, it's sunder.
It's sunder. Yeah.
Sunder
yeah.
is the word.
But
it means to break apart,
break
to separate,
apart.
To sunder. And a losing streak can often sunder a team.
Oh, yeah, I hear that on sports
yeah.
channels
yeah, all
the
time.
I mention that on...
Yeah, Sunder Night Football.
Nah.
Yeah,
right. You are up for a little fun, aren't you? That's good. Try this one, Garland. Chimera.
What?
What?
C-H-I-M-E-R-A.
Oh,
chimera.
Chimera.
Oh.
It's half
yeah.
human, half animal.
Yeah.
That's...
I'm trying to think of people I know that...
Fit the definition.
Well, think. How about let's start with the rear end of a horse. Anybody come to mind?
Don't get her started, Tony.
You know, may I tell a story?
Yes.
I'm sure I can because it's my turn. We were having a conversation because I was reading the newspaper and I looked down and I saw. A term for an animal that I'd never heard of called an okapi.
Okapi.
Okapi. Okapi. I said, yeah. I've never heard of an okapi. What's an okapi? And it's, you know, it's part horse, part zebra, and part
giraffe.
Antelope. What?
Antelope.
Giraffe.
No, it is. It's antelope. An antelope.
Antelope.
It's a form
and I
of
said,
antelope.
Who's ever heard of a...
Okapi.
Okapi. And he had heard of it. And I said, where did you hear of it? And he said... I'm Captain Kangaroo, Mr. Green Jeans. Said it. But anyway, that was my story.
And your sentence is?
Yes. Oh. Yeah.
Do I have to?
Yeah. I hate to get back to the point at hand here, but chimera. You're right that it
oh,
is.
Do
it does.
Do you want to use it in a sentence, sweetie?
Oh, no, not really.
Well, you can do without the points. That's possible. Anyone want to help her?
No, I don't.
Not knowing whether the thing before her was a man or a beast, she thought it must be a chimera.
You know what? Just to put an end to this, I'm going to. A chimera is a fantastic creature, you know, historically, with the head of a lion and the body of a stockbroker. And, what is the back half of a chimera?
What?
A snake? No, the snake's tail. That's right. It has a snake's tail. And
right.
It's just a combination. But it's now considered, now when they use the word, it means a fantastic flight of fancy, an illusion or fabrication of the mind. The monsters in a children's closets are but youthful chimera. Try this one, Paula. Use this one correctly in a sentence. Punctilious.
Punctilious. I'm going to get this probably a bit off.
Neat.
Yeah, punctilious is sort of, very... very, very, very neat, very...
orderly.
Orderly, and very focused on the little things, right?
Yes, that's...
Yeah.
So, Laura Scher is so orderly and pays such attention to detail that you would call her housekeeping punctilious.
You How's know what? That? Having lived there, absolutely.
Once Richard leaves the house, the Scher household becomes punctilious.
No, I have managed in my married life to determine when the house is clean. This is a very important thing for all husbands to understand, is when is the house clean? The house is clean when all traces of the fact that I live there have been removed. You know the sentence I use for punctilious? Manners the butler was a punctilious pitchman for TV table napkins.
Oh,
so
yes.
That's a
there
little,
you go.
A little too much, you think? A little too much. And finally, Barry, try this one. Use it correctly in a sentence. Shibboleth. S-H-I-B-B-O-L-E-T-H. Shibboleth.
A shibboleth is a false... and stereotypic or iconic belief about some person or thing.
Well, that's more what it's become. It's not the formal meaning of it. That's more what people use it.
But it originally it was a giant stone monument.
Yeah, well, I have no idea. I have no idea that it was a monument. What were you going to say, Tony? You were starting to drift.
Just that it is a very compelling belief. Something that a large group of people would devote themselves to.
Well, use it. Let's see how you use it in a sentence.
Sometimes I listen to talk radio, and I know those people are full of shibboleth.
That's 10 points if ever I heard it. That's not really it. I don't want to leave the radio audience with that impression. It's not really it. Any help from the other side?
Doesn't it mean some sort of word or phrase that's a giveaway as to someone being a member of a group?
That's exactly right.
Oh, yeah.
Very good,
Karen.
Right. I'm glad I gave the 10 points to them because you got the answer.
Yeah.
But
okay.
The formal meaning of shibboleth is it's a slogan, often a password.
Yeah.
A fraternal shibboleth is needed for admission to the house, that kind of thing. But that's the formal meaning of it. But... 10 points for you, Barry, and thanks you guys for playing that round.
Absolutely.
Let's go on to round two, which is played with a little musical help from our friends, the Blue Four Trio. It is the first of the Says You Bluffing rounds. Carolyn, each of you will receive a card defining a word. Only one has the actual definition. The others have cards that say, please bluff. Those poor souls have a few seconds to make up a definition on the spot, good enough to fool Tony's team. 10 points up for grabs to Tony if he can find the bluffer, or to you, Carolyn, if he can't. A few seconds, musically enhanced, to come up with a definition for the word foy. F-O-Y. Foy. Gentlemen?
Better get your luggage packed. Meet you by the railroad track. Shug and jive and swing. Everybody jumping down to Palm Springs. Right
it like a buckaroo. Then it starts swimming pool. Listen to the cowboys sing. Everybody jumping down to Palm Springs.
Oh, while that snow is falling, falling on the mountain top, you can hear those coyotes calling. Boy, they never stop.
If you want to dance a song, better make some cabbage long. Filthy lucre is a thing. Everybody jumping down to Palm Springs.
Says You says thanks to the Fairmont Olympic Hotel, our home away from home in Seattle, and on the web, fairmont.com/Seattle. Our next live performance is in Port Townsend, Washington, Friday, June 21st. It's a community, Says You, to benefit the Clemente Course for the Humanities, featuring Says You team captains and local denizens vying for verbal supremacy. Tickets, information, and details are available at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. We hope you'll be there for an evening of wit and wordplay as the whole town turns out to support community education. That's Friday, June 21st in Port Townsend, Washington. A live performance of Says You. Says You returns after this from home.
Graduates of the Tennessee Foreign Language Institute's certificate program in teaching English as a second language are traveling the world teaching English, as well as making a contribution here at home working with refugees and immigrants. The next 150-hour program starts July 12th. There is an information session at 6 p.m. on June 14th at TFLI. Details at tfli.org. Tennessee Foreign Language Institute, creating a dialogue with the world.
You loved that record back in January, but are you still listening to it in June? I'm Greg Kot.
And I'm Jim DeRogatis. This week on Sound Opinions, we submit our favorite records of the year to their toughest test yet, months of listening.
Which records are still blowing our minds and which are collecting dust? Tune in to find out. It's the best albums of 2013 so far.
Sunday evenings at 7.
Okay, Father's Day coming up. What to get the old man? Something fun, quick, completely maintenance-free. Wait a minute. That sounds like Says Us, the scripts and quips of Says You. Two volumes from our first two seasons, scripts from 40 shows, the ultimate way to occupy the kids on the drive to Elmira, and not a tie. You can find out more about this thoughtful gift alternative at saysyou.net. That's S-A-Y-S-Y-O-U. And while you're there, why not contribute a question to the show? Because frankly, Phil and I are hitting a dry spell. That is the Blue Four Trio. That is Casey McGill, Matt Weiner, and Mike Daugherty. And thank you very much, guys, for giving us a little time with the word foy. We will go first to Carolyn Fay Fox.
Foy, the male offspring of an okapi. To foy
and a chimera
yes, is to fog up a car's windshield.
To fog up a car's windshield is to foy it.
That's right.
Okay, could be that. Or Arnie, something else.
Well, it appears to be a traditional way of saying goodbye to someone or some folks. It's It's your last drink, a big meal, a little trinket of something that sends you off.
Ah.
Here's your foy, there's the door.
It's a parting gift. You get out, that's it. Just take this foy and leave.
Yeah, right.
Okay, it could be that. Or foy could mean something else. Paula, what say you?
Well, I've actually always wondered what this was called. I mean, we all know that the bottom of the ear is called the lobe, but the top curvature of the ear, that's the foy.
Above the lobe is the foy. Boy. Evidently, there are a number of members of the medical community out here who...
Well, my father was a surgeon. Where'd you think I picked this
up? Yeah, there you go. Well, foy is either above the lobe and it's, below the scalp. It's that top of the ear.
As in the Van Gogh foy.
Yeah. It's either that, a farewell gift of some variety, or to fog up a car's windshield. It is one of those three. Yeah, I think that deserves a round of applause. That was pretty good. Those are three pretty good definitions. And the choice, Tony, is yours.
Well, I'm wondering why one would go to such an extent as to think of a windshield as something which needs to be fogged up. I fog up windshields. I've been accused of doing that. I'm a very humid person, and I know that can happen. No one has ever... Besides, I think the proper term for something that's fogged up is fe. It's not foy. It looks fe. I also, when it comes to Paula's jejune attempt to fool us,
jejune.
I believe the official term for the top of the ear is top of the ear.
Top of the ear.
I think it's one of those nameless parts of the body, or one of those parts that should go unnamed. So I'm kind of like centering in on goodbye, a goodbye gift, a little foy from your boy toy. What do you think?
I think you're probably right. You get some trinket like a key foy.
I feel like it's a noun. I don't like to fog up.
Either that or it's an adjective in Greek.
But I feel like if it were the top of the ear, I would be remembering how many years ago I'd forgotten that that's something that I learned in biology. And I don't remember forgetting, or I can't remember.
I would like to nibble your foy. I can't tell you how discouraged I am.
Where are we?
So what do you think? Are you kind of like, would you be comfortable with a goodbye gift? Ta-ta trinket.
Yes.
I'm comfortable with that.
Okay. We're going to go with Arnie's. Yeah.
Yes.
Number two.
Arnie, that was you. They say that a foy is a farewell gift of some kind. Is that, in fact, what a foy is?
Foy, the past tense of few. No, it's a farewell gift.
That is what it is.
I just like, as a matter of record, I would like to know, when has logic ever given us the right answer? I don't believe it. I think this is the first.
They're getting awfully good at this game, I got to tell you. Good job, you guys. Let's go on to round three. Another round of history with Benjamin.
With whom?
This week... A challenge our resident scorekeepers calls Colonize This. Please answer the following questions concerning European settlement in North America. Carolyn, what was Croatoan? C-R-O-A-T-O-A-N. Croatoan.
Isn't this the word that was written at the Roanoke Colony? Left on a tree or whatever that was after
Virginia.
Everybody disappeared?
That's exactly right. Very good, Arnold.
Yeah.
Very good.
Oh, okay.
Do you know any more about it than that?
Well, everybody was gone.
Yes, that's
suddenly disappeared, including Virginia Dare, the first baby born in the United States.
Boy, he knows a lot more about it than I thought. And, that's great.
When the next group came in there and was scratching their heads, they found this one word carved into a tree or something?
Yes, they did. And they think it's the location and tribe of Native Americans, Croatoan, which is, I guess, in the modern-day Outer Banks. I'm not certain of that, but I think that's where it is. And they were going to go find them, but then bad weather forced them back to England, and no one ever found out what happened to that colony. So,
thank you, Tony.
Very good, Arnold.
It's safe to assume they all died.
No, it isn't. Actually, it's safer to assume that they were all assimilated, a lot of the theory is that they just were simply assimilated into the tribe, and that's how it went.
I like your story better. They lived happily ever after.
Tony,
yes.
What can you tell me about Rebecca Rolfe?
Rebecca whom?
Rolfe.
Rolfe. Rebecca R-O-L-F-E. Rolfe. What can you tell me about Rebecca Rolfe?
Very, very little.
Rolfe.
Was she at all related to the family that gave us Rolfing? approximately 300 years later.
I haven't the faintest idea. Don't think Rebecca. So.
Founding mother of massage.
Rebecca Rolfe. Well, clearly with a name like Rebecca, she wore the first scarlet consonant. She rolled her R's just a little bit too long. You know what I mean? Richard, I have no idea. I haven't the fuck.
You know, you absolutely know who this is.
Is. Was she somebody's mother?
No, actually, she was not someone's mother.
She was abducted.
I'm afraid before we get into some very dicey territory.
Barry is.
Anyone know
Rebecca Rolfe?
Rebecca Rolfe. I know you know who this is.
Arnie knows.
Rebecca Rolfe.
Arnie knows.
Arnie does know. You're going to give it up? Well,
no. It's Pocahontas.
It is exactly Pocahontas.
I was going
to
say that.
Changed her name to Rebecca Rolfe when she married John Rolfe.
She was born
with an Indian name, right? And she changed it. Right?
She did. She came back to She came back with him to Britain,
right?
Where she
became Rebecca Rolfe.
She became Rebecca Rolfe. She spent a whirlwind year in Great Britain, and promptly died.
I think she assimilated.
Well, then she assimilated at the age of 22. So, Arnold, this is gonna test your knowledge, Arnold.
I already got the other two, so I don't care anymore.
That's true. What's wrong with that whole Peter Minuet bought Manhattan for $24 in junk jewelry thing? What's wrong with that?
It didn't happen.
What did?
First of all, it wasn't $24.
Well, that's exactly right. Yeah, that's part of it.
Yeah,
there's a couple of reasons for that.
Well, first of all, he paid off a tribe that didn't own the property.
That is exactly right. I'm going to give you the 10 points for that. That's the bottom line. But what else can you tell me about this?
I always love that part of it. Yeah, sure, we'll sell it to you. What do you want?
They didn't own the land in the first place.
Right, right.
But what else is wrong with this whole legend?
Well, it was, first of all, wasn't it all in trinkets and beads and...
Wampum, something like that?
It was not, and that's probably the biggest part of this.
It was cigarettes.
Yeah. Feathers. I don't know.
That's really to the heart of the matter. First of all, in 1624, there were no dollars, but let's not go there. Yeah. He was Dutch, and he paid 60 guilders, which they now say is anywhere from $74 to $10,000. That's an interesting dynamic that it would be then. But as to the trinkets that history says that were given, they were not trinkets. We're talking about axes, iron kettles, awls, and a lot of other advanced technology.
Uh-huh.
This was a technology sale, and that's pretty much what they came away with.
But
iPods?
No, iPods.
iPods.
see no reason for booing. I thought that was... All right. Garland, in the late 1600s and early 1700s, the future King James II used lands in Pennsylvania and Maryland to rid England of a problem. What was the problem, and what solution did the colonies provide?
Prisoners.
I'm sorry?
Prisoners. P-R.
No.
Was that?
That's wrong?
It is not. No, not. Well.
Lawyers.
People that he didn't.
Lawyers.
People that King James didn't want around.
And who might that have been?
Quakers.
That's exactly
That's
right.
That's it.
10 points. There it goes. 10 points.
I haven't said.
Richard, did
That's
you know I was a Quaker?
Yes. But what about Maryland? Pennsylvania was the Quakers. That's true. It's William Penn. What about Maryland? Anyone know? No, that's not it. but good guess.
Yeah. What about?
Does anyone know about Maryland?
It's not the same? What do you
not
mean?
Not the same?
No?
Who was hanging out there then?
Well, that was Lord Baltimore.
Yeah.
Well, actually,
oh, the Catholics.
Yeah, the Catholics. That's exactly right. It was a succession of Lord Baltimore.
Ah.
But persecuted Catholics and Quakers were given land so that they would go away and stop protesting already. And they were given land so that they would be able to practice their religions freely. And that was Lord Baltimore and, of course, William Penn. Paula, try this one. The short version is that James Oglethorpe founded Georgia and settled it with criminals. But what's the longer version?
He settled it in Australia.
Yeah. No, he didn't.
A little bit of an inhospitable climate, was it? It was tough attracting people to
a humid
state?
The inhospitable climate and prevalence of mosquitoes.
Oh, yes, yellow fever.
Give quite a bit of problems, but I'm thinking something else here.
So they really weren't prisoners?
Well...
Were they indentured servants?
No, actually, they came over. They were prisoners. These were prisoners, but specific kinds of prisoners.
Debtors? From debtors' prison?
Debtors is the whole thing. Yeah.
Debtors' prison. Ah,
this was
okay.
A great... So, you know, I'm going to give you 8 points for that because you struggled to debtors, and that was a good place to get. This was a great social experiment. Mr. Oglethorpe was quite a social reformer. He was a visionary that was horrified by the conditions and circumstances of debtors' prison, that people could go in for owing money and just never be seen again. Yeah. And he theorized that urbanization was the great cause of poverty, and Georgia could provide a constructive alternative. But he also got refugees and craftsmen from all over Europe. They dealt fairly with the Native Americans, abolished slavery, and James Oglethorpe went on to found the Masons.
Really? Wow.
All right, and try this one, Barry. About 1611, the Virginia Company of London ended its monopoly over land ownership in the colony. Why did they do that, do you suppose, and what was its most important consequence?
The most important consequence was it allowed the settlement in 1621 of Plymouth Plantation.
Not really, no.
No.
It has nothing to do with that.
Well, if they eliminated land ownership, then what would the advantage have been? What
no,
would they have
it,
gotten?
It didn't eliminate land ownership. It eliminated
the monopoly of land
ownership. Their monopoly.
Their monopoly. So were they able, through that, to... raise capital for other exploration or other settlement attempts?
Incidentally, yes, but that doesn't apply to this particular circumstance. Why would they end their own monopoly over land ownership?
Because of the taxes.
No, that's
how
not
about encouraging more settlement?
That's exactly right. It was they found that the tenant sharecroppers on their lands. They believed that they would display more initiative if the land could be owned by them, so they wanted to encourage those kind of people with that kind of initiative. But this really led to something of great consequence. What was it?
Democracy.
A particular use to which this land was put because of that?
No, it's not.
Did
that
it
so much.
Change the nature of the people that looked to come and settle?
It did, but that's not it. I'm going to go to the other side.
Was it a precursor to democracy?
It absolutely was. Very good, Paula. Excellent. I'm going to give you guys 8 points, too, because you did get part of the way there. But once that land could be owned by a number of people, that necessitated boundaries. That necessitated laws, and that necessitated government. The first self-government of the colonies, named the House of Burgesses. Right. Arguably, it's the birthplace of American democracy. So that's what that was, and...
Thanks, Ben.
Thank you, Ben. We appreciate that. Let's go on to round four, which is Tony's team's chance to have a little fun at Webster's expense. One of you will correctly define the following word, two will bluff. 10 points, Carolyn, if your team can find the rose among thorns. Take a few moments to come up with a definition for the word dorped. D-O-R-P-T. Dorped.
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 Gentlemen?
When old summer's in the air, then something happens to me. I just throw away all care. A drowsy spell goes through me. All I do is mope all day, while my thoughts just go astray.
Dreaming, dreaming, just dreaming, dreaming. Like to ramble on the road that never ends. Me and Mother Nature are the best of friends.
Folks think that I'm lazy, but I'm just dreaming.
Dreaming, dreaming, just dreaming, dreaming. Always tell the daisies everything I've planned. When they nod their heads, I know they understand.
Honest, I ain't lazy, I'm just dreaming.
There are so many ways to enjoy, says you. You can listen here each week, as we hope you do. You can attend a live performance or download any show in our archive. You can contribute a question to the show and achieve limited fame with a small but dedicated audience. And now there's the book, Says Us, Volumes 1 and 2, a tome of games for family and fellow travelers. All this and more at SaysYou.net, SaysYou. Briefly, Says You pauses. We'll be right back.
Support for Says You comes from Nashville Public Radio listener members and Lipscomb University's College of Education, offering a new educational leadership program this fall that provides high-impact student achievement strategies from day one. Details are online at education.lipscomb.edu.
Blue Four Trio. Oh, this gives me a chance to thank our scorekeepers. Mr. Paul Purnell and Mr. Benjamin Scher. Thanks, guys, for giving the story. We've had a few moments with the word dorped. We will go first to Tony Khan.
I'm not exactly sure how this is done, but it's dorped is to hold a lion at bay. I suppose it involves using a sheep in some way. But frankly, that is not included in the definition. So to dorped is to hold a lion at bay.
To hold a lion at bay. You just dorped that critter.
Dorped it.
Okay. That could be it. Or it could be something else. Garland?
I really believe that men and women can do... Women can do all the things that men can do most of the time. But there is one thing that men can do that women cannot do.
Dorp.
And it you can see it with children. When little boys are playing with cars and trucks, they make a sound. Make the sound that boys... Girls go vroom, vroom. Or... Bang. That sound. Hank Williams does it too with the honky tonkin'. You know, there's a thing in his voice that women can't do. Anyway, that's that sound effect with your
voice.
What
does it say on the card?
I'm telling you, it's a sound effect with your voice.
Sound effect with your voice.
Yes.
Making all the sounds the truck makes, you're dorping. Like, okay, that could be it. Or Barry, something else.
Animal feed.
Animal feed.
You may recall, you've seen it, you've heard about it on the popular cooking show on Animal Planet. Short order dorped. It's animal feed.
Animal what?
When they're out on the trail.
I get it. It's animal feed.
It's something
right?
to throw yes. to the lions while you're trying to keep them at bay.
That's exactly right. You throw dorp to the lions so you can dorp them. I get that. All right. It is either animal feed, the sound made by little boys playing or a sound effect, and to hold a lion at bay. It is one of those three. Karen, what do you think?
Oh, dear. I'm sort of liking the sound effect with your voice.
That could be it. You made it. It's adorptable.
It is quite a strange word.
It is totally strange.
Very strange word. And dorped.
But it's not onomatopoeic. We can see that exactly. But.
Nor do they call it an anagram.
But animal feed seems
Department
a little
of Reckless
too general to me.
What?
Animal feed seems too general.
It does. And it also
what kind
sounds
of
too much like corp.
Yeah, gorp.
And so it's either hold the lion at bay.
To dork. Yeah. Sound effect with your voice.
Okay, then.
You're captain. Go for it.
Should we go then with Garland's?
Sure, what the hell?
Sure, we'll go with Garland's.
Garland, they have come to the team decision that dorped are the sounds made by little boys playing sound effects you make with your voice. Is that, in fact, what it means?
See, I want to do this, but I can't do it either. Barry can do it, but I can't. Oh, I did it! Make something up.
Oh, good. Well,
that was a bluff. Okay, audience, what do you think? Well, Barry, I think that's pretty conclusive. The audience thinks it's animal feed. Is that, in fact, what dorped is?
Apparently, you must be the animal feed because it's apparently the lion thing.
Oh, really?
It is
hold
not.
The lion
that was a bluff.
How? Why?
The definition actually reads,
I can't think of a sound more calculated to bring a lion at you.
Yeah. Dorped?
Then dorped.
Really?
However, it means to hold as a lion at bay.
That's what it means.
Wow.
10 points
and
for Tony's
on that,
team.
They will win.
Oh, yeah.
All right. Let's close tonight Let's revisit a round of cryptic destinations. From the following ridiculous puns, clues, and references, please tell me the international tourist destination I have in mind. An example from last time, duo leaves out, is pair omits. The pyramids.
Yeah, boy.
It was one of the better ones, actually. All right. International tourist destination, Carolyn, brought to mind by the clue, Smucker's Boston Division, for one.
Smucker's Boston Division. Boston so it would division. Be Jam?
Jam.
Jamaica.
Jamaica, yeah.
Oh, Jamaica. Yes, Jamaica.
What?
A Jamaica.
Like Boston. Jamaica.
Boston.
It is a
Jamaica.
Jamaica.
Oh.
Oh, God.
Smucker's Boston Division is a Jamaica. Yes, that's right, Jamaica. Tony, international tourist destination brought to mind by the clue Donkey Digs. Donkey Digs.
Donkey Digs. Burrow. Mule. Burrow. Jackass.
Jackass?
The international tourist destination, Jackass. I just saw the movie yesterday.
Yeah. It's just north of Mobile.
Donkey Digs.
Donkey Digs.
Digs is like the place. Right. It's like your house.
Yeah.
Jack House. Jack
oh, the other Burrow side house. Has it.
Yeah.
Mule House.
Well, oh, they're not going to get Donkey Digs.
Australia.
I don't think so.
That's not it, actually.
A donkey can't live in a trailer?
Australia.
I had in mind Aspen, but that's okay.
Aspen.
You know.
Oh, I was going for Muhlenberg.
Yeah.
Oh, Aspen. Aspen.
I really like Australia. I think that's great. Try this one, Arnie. Plea from a desperate cracker craver. International tourist destination brought to mind. Plea from a desperate cracker craver.
It'd be a parrot?
No.
No, Polly.
Desperate cracker craver?
Desperate cracker craver. Give me a Ritz. I mean, what?
Oh, yeah.
I mean, what are
Ritz?
We...
Ritz? Are we going... Know. Oh.
Ah, Ritz. Be a Ritz.
Be a Ritz. No.
Oh, not be a Ritz. Be a Ritz is good, though. I have to give him credit.
What else ends in Ritz?
What else ends in Ritz? Wait a second. Be a Ritz.
Plea from a desperate cracker craver.
Please.
Give me a Ritz. Give a Ritz.
Yes, the... last 17 rows of the audience have it, I think. I'm not sure. No. Does the other side know?
Ritz.
Audience? Send more Ritz. Yes, send more Ritz.
Send more Ritz.
I wonder which half of the audience was mumbling there. The ones that got it or the ones that didn't? A plea from a desperate cracker craver is send Moritz. Yes, send Moritz. They're not going to get any better, ladies and gentlemen. It's downhill from here.
We got more.
Try this one, Garland. Inoperative middle key.
Inoperative
middle key.
Middle.
Ooh.
Inoperative.
Middle key.
Middle key as in
so that's
key.
Middle key is C.
C.
Ooh, so the middle key is C. No C. Inoperative middle
the
key.
The dark black
so there's
C?
No C. Hmm?
What was the first word?
Inoperative.
Inoperative middle key, so the C.
Something.
You got the C. You got the 5 points.
Inoperative.
The
Baltic Sea.
If it's inoperative, what is it? It is
dead.
Dead Sea.
Dead Sea.
From the audience. It is the Dead Sea, yes. And that's 5 points for that.
Okay.
Good job.
Holy Sea.
All right. These last two are just miserable, but try it.
Oh, the other ones were so right on.
Yes, that's it. Try this one, Paula. The bottom of Jason's boat.
Argo.
Argo.
Chicago.
Chicago.
Key Largo.
Key Largo is exactly right.
Keel.
Of course.
Keel. Yay! 10 points.
All right, Barry. Nothing riding on this but the whole game. Give it your best shot. Tourist destination brought to mind by the clue, Peaked Picnic playwright.
Oh.
Inge.
Peaked. William Inge. Thank you. William Inge wrote the play Picnic.
Right.
Peaked Picnic playwright. So Inge.
Yeah. Okay.
Peaked Inge.
Oh, well.
Peaked. Peaked. Inge. Tired Inge. Tired weekend. Stonehenge.
Stonehenge.
Ooh.
Stonehenge.
Stonehenge.
I think this is a big experience.
It's not that, but it's. I gotta give him some points for that. That's
pale, peaked. You're looking a little peaked. You're looking a little pale. You're looking a little green.
Well, not green so much as
pale. Wan-inge.
Pale-inge.
You know what? I'm going to give them the 10 points. I think it's only fair. He's been through a lot. I'm going to give you the 10 points for Stonehenge, because it could be. I had Beijing.
Beijing.
Whoa!
Yes.
You're looking rather beige this evening.
Much as I think you folks could have done a little better with the hissing, I appreciate it. But I'm going to leave this day the way it should have been left, because that was a great job by both teams. An 83-83 tie. Okay. Congratulations to both teams.
We even lost a word.
That is all we have time for this week. Thanks so much to Shirley Bossier and all the folks here at Town Hall. And thanks especially to Jeff Hansen, Arvid Hawkinson, Katie Mullen, and all the folks at KUOW. I think that reaction says it all. Luke Kerwall mans the meters, and Zach Moore is the AP with the get up and go. So long today from Washington State, where you can't take a fishbowl on a bus, and in some places you can't buy a TV on Saturday. Thank you, Seattle, and we'll see you all next week.
You can hear Says You Again for free on any of the stations that stream our show. Just follow the High Definitions radio stations link on our website, find a convenient time, and listen again and again. For copies of this show or any other in our history, you can find downloads at saysyou.net. Benjamin, give him the skinny.
Says You. Created and produced by Pippin and Finch, Boston.
Support for WPLN comes from Dr. Joseph Delosier, a board-certified plastic surgeon offering a comprehensive array of services and procedures. Consultations and information are at 565-9000 or drdelosier.com.
This is 90.3 WPLN Nashville Public Radio, 91.5 WTML Tullahoma, and 91.7 WHRS Cookeville. You can find a complete schedule of all our programs and listen to a live stream of any of our program channels at WPLN.org. It's 10 o'clock.